very much. It's great to be here today. It's great to be invited to speak to you today about my view on Scotland and innovation. And I'm going to cover some of the areas of innovative excellence that I've seen in my time as CFA for Scotland. In addition to acting as CFA, I also retain my role as the Chief Executive of the World Food Companies and Charities, and we work on vaccines and diagnostic tests for livestock infectious disease. Within my role as CFA, I have three main areas. I work on science, evidence, and advice for policy areas, especially in cross-cutting and strategic, working across the UK Chief Scientific Network and the equivalent in Scottish Government. I'm interested in policy design, particularly relating to the science and engineering profession within government, and I try to act as a science and innovation champion. And I'm interested in science and for society, speaking to guests, promoting Scotland science excellence, and working with the public with the science public engagement sector. When I started in this role, I really gave my own objectives, helping along with others to respond to the COVID-19 pandemic, still working on pandemic preparedness. I'm very keen to develop a science and technology roadmap to deliver Scotland's climate change plan. And I have a long-term interest in sustainable food systems for Scotland as part of the new food nation. Much of my time has been spent on establishing and creating a science and innovation technology platform for Scotland named Scot Science. That's to pull all the great parts of science across Scotland and connect it better with our Scottish science ecosystem and the government. So the innovation system in Scotland is clearly very important. Our vision is to become one of the most innovative nations of the world. And our ambition is to boost innovation, productivity, competitiveness, and green economic growth. Ultimately, the rate of our innovation was as good as the best performing OECD countries. But clearly, research excellence is vital in underpinning and driving innovation. And we know that industry investment in Scotland is linked to our university strengths. And the R&D is the third largest focus of foreign direct investment in Scotland. So sustained investment in research, development and innovation is critical. And that's exemplified to me by the triple helix, governments, academic institutions and industry working together. We'll hear more about that later. So altogether, I believe it's an essential element of the Scottish innovation ecosystem. So of course, we do have world-leading excellence in Scotland, and that's conducted by world-leading scientists. And it's fantastic in 2021 that the Nobel Prize for Chemistry was awarded to David Macmillan of Princeton University. David undertaking his first degree in chemistry at the University of Glasgow. And of course, we've already mentioned that Scotland is a nation of inventors, but I truly believe that we're ready for the new funding opportunities, including from ARIA, the Advanced Research and Invention Agency, which is coming on stream soon. Our universities undertake highly innovative work with four-star research across all of our universities, including in all 34 units of assessment. And just recently in the Scottish Knowledge Exchange Awards, the award for collaboration in COVID-19 technology went to Avatar Digital Limited in Glasgow, Eric Watt University and Partners, and the Scottish Manufacturing Advisory Service. And this was for the first Scottish-made PCR swab, which is highly accurate, but also works by only nasal insertion. So I'm sure many of us have benefited from that over the months. When it comes to innovative businesses, I had a fantastic time at the University of Dundee. Dundee ranked top UK university for biological sciences in the Red 21, based on 3 and 4-star publications. It's the focus, the locus of the Wellcome Centre for Anti-Infectives and the world-famous Drug Discovery Unit. These have close links and substantial funding via multiple pharma and biotech companies. And when I was there, I was speaking to Sir Mike Ferguson, and he and others are developing the Life Sciences Innovation District as part of the Tay City Biomedical Cluster and City Duo. And the important aspect of that is the focus on attracting and retaining innovative scientists and building life science companies of scale and in demand across Scotland. It's really important that we retain being scientists rather than then drifting to other parts of the UK and further afield and moving to the United States. When it comes to investing in innovation, one of the best places to do that seems to be Aberdeen. An example being the Centre for Energy Transition at the University of Aberdeen, working on wind power, hydrogen, geothermal, wave and tidal decommissioning of different scientific disciplines important for energy transition. The formation of the GeoNet Seal Centre for Doctoral Training has been critical to this. 12 UK academic institutions in partnership in the areas of geoscience and more, and investment in training by over 10 industry partners. The Centre for Doctoral Training has 178 PhDs enrolled, and 75 of those have completed their studies, all then going on to be employed in relevant sectors. I think this is a fantastic achievement and shows the scope and the scale that's required in order to produce innovative scientists in the future. The Centre for Energy Transition also hosts the National Energy Skills Accelerator, a collaboration between universities, colleges, and skills development in Scotland. This organisation being the seat of an SFC Pathfinder and a Scottish Government Just Transition Fund. But when I was speaking to Professor John Underhill, he emphasised that further support is required, particularly for postdoctoral scientists who wish to retain their interest in the academic sector in addition to the industry sector. And we also discussed the importance of the skills escalator, how we ensure that school leavers, apprentices, graduates from our colleges and universities are ready to take up positions in industry relating to energy provision. I agree completely with previous speakers about the very important role of the public sector in innovation. And this image is of the National Performance Framework. And I've attached a gold star to the three areas that I think are particularly relevant to today's discussions. The top one, the entrepreneurial economy, to the bottom right, the talented and skilled workforce, and the other gold star is innovative business. And all of these are essential if we're to develop in Scotland, or if we're to deliver our main strategies, the National Strategy for Economic Transformation, Net Zero, reducing inequalities and child poverty, and more recently, the response to the cost of living crisis. But in Scottish Government, we have over 600 directly employed scientists producing some fantastic science and innovation, which will help us to deliver to these strategies. One such example is Marine Scotland, and here you can see by my images the multiple areas that Marine Scotland works in. The Marine Fund supports fisheries, aquaculture, and environment, but also new and innovative business ideas. It focuses on science related to offshore wind, marine ecosystems, including the use of environmental DNA, and diseases of aquaculture species. The quality of the marine science is extremely important because it underpins surveillance, monitoring, regulation, and policy development in Scotland. Scotland is also fortunate to have a good number of institutes collectively called SAFARI. These are the Scottish Environment, Food and Agricultural Research Institutes, and those focus on strategic policy focused research where adoption and diffusion is extremely important. The images here indicate the Rowett Research Institute working on hemp as a sustainable source of both protein and oil, the James Hutton Institute working on indoor and vertical farming, which has the potential to use renewable energies. BIOS is measurement of coronavirus in wastewater, correlating very well with the case rate of COVID across Scotland. The Dairy Digital Centre, run by SRBC in partnership with other businesses in the southwest of Scotland, aiming to decarbonise the dairy industry. And then two examples of international impact for the Royal Botanic Gardens of Edinburgh, monitoring the deforestation in Southeast Asia related to the production of tyres and other rubber products. And then my own institute, the Morden Research Institute, the image on the right of the screen, showing our vaccine against the first gut-dwelling nematode worm of any species, in this case a worm affecting sheep, and with the creation of an Australian spin-out company and selling the vaccine there, but with the royalties and other income coming back to Scotland. So we have a very vibrant institute sector. Another important aspect of the innovation infrastructure in Scotland are our innovation centres. The icons here indicating their various names, Scottish Aquaculture Innovation Centre, Census, Data Lab, to name but a few. There are 7 innovation centres, and those were created in 2012. And they are there to essentially support sectors with strong research and growth potential. They have very strong links and are funding from industry and draw significantly on the research excellence in Scottish organisations. When it comes to delivering innovation, the example that I have here is in health and social care. And I'd like to thank Dave Adamczyk, who's in the audience, for providing these slides. And basically, there's very much a broad agreement that the pressures and challenges facing healthcare can only be addressed if we have outcomes improving, experience enhancing, and value-added innovation that can be identified and adopted. And that perhaps radical and disruptive innovation at scale has become a necessity. And the challenge is that we have lots of activity in this area in Scotland, and it's rather uncoordinated with many players. So there's huge opportunities to increase the momentum in this area. Data hypothesis, the burning platform of innovation, which I think we can all see from. So this work has been undertaken via the Chief Scientist Office within the Scottish Government, and 3 regional test beds have been set up in the north, east, and the west of the country. Test beds are where public sector assets are used by industry to test their innovations in situ. With over £3.5 million invested in this financial year in these test beds and in the Scottish Health and Innovation Partnership. The innovations to be used in the test beds, or that are being used in the test beds, are not just pharma, but they include medtech, particularly medical devices, and digital, including AI and machine learning. And again, this refers back to the triple helix, the importance of government, academic researchers, and industry working together. And the icons from the industry partnership indicate the strength of these partnerships, and the fact that this initiative can act as a one-stop shop for industry wanting to test their innovations. And finally, in this area, in continued investment in the Accelerated National Innovation Adoption Plan, or the ANIA. The key element of this innovation is that all of the main health organisations within Scotland are working together with a single purpose, and those icons are listed here in the centre. That the aim is to collaborate in procurement, research capacity, alignment with digital programmes, testing new innovations, baseline data, workforce development, resulting in coordination of the ANIA pathway, and progressing innovations through that and through national clinical engagement. So the key element here is about collaboration, cooperation, and speed of adoption of new technologies across our health and innovation sector. I'm also very fortunate to work not just with the Scottish Government, but also the UK Government, and we regularly talk about innovation. Obviously, sources of funding for innovation include UKRI and Innovate UK, the new strategy being developed. We still have major discussions around the issues around Horizon Europe and the importance of the funding to Scotland in terms of R&D and innovation. And we have great interactions with our law societies and academics. And of course, Foundation of Science and Technology is but one example of the close links that we have. At a personal level, I am part of the CSA network, the UK CSA network. We meet once a week, which is fantastic. I get great support on one-to-ones from Patrick Ballas. I'm speaking regularly to the other chief scientific advisors across the other devolved administrations, as well as the UK government. And so I find that our topics very often focus down on the importance of innovation to all of us across the country. And my final points that I'd like to make is I do truly believe that innovative impact is so important. And the phrases that I've listed here are part and parcel of the strategy that Mr. McKee has just presented to you. And when it comes to my recipe, or ingredients, sorry, not actually ingredients for innovation. I've got that in mind. My ingredients are that innovation is all about creativity. Sometimes it requires courage. It's about collaboration, communication, centres, and community. But after all, innovation is very much down to people. Thanks very much.